Blog Talk Radio.
Journey in your head, master of illusion, can you?
Hello and welcome again to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. It's 8:05 on Wednesday evening here in Canberra. Big welcome to everyone who's listening. My name is Matthew James. I am your host on this show this evening. I have, a very interesting guest on this evening, somebody who has actually not been announced, but is sitting waiting in the airwaves to talk to us this evening. I do actually have the return of Sharon Tunbridge, Polly, who had a week's rest last week, so I could actually have Maria Relita on to discuss Atlantis with us. Now, Maria is going to be back on the show in a few weeks' time to do Atlantis 2, so that's going to be another interesting evening, but I guarantee this evening is going to be extremely interesting. The topics that we've actually got for this evening, we're actually titling this evening A Night of Learning. We want to talk about aliens, alchemy, conspiracy theories, past lives, symbolism. We've got a whole host of things we actually want to discuss this evening. Now, the thing is about this particular show, yes, you can phone in and have live readings like the Tuesday morning show. You are more than welcome to call in and get a live reading from either me or Polly. Yes, you can do that. But we're really encouraging people to phone in and discuss the topics that we are discussing, to join in, to interact with us, to take part in the night of learning with us. Share our views and even provide us with your own views and your own insights into the subjects that we're talking on. Now, for anyone who wishes to call in, the guest call-in number is area code 760, which I believe is an American number, 283-4611. That's area code 760, 283-4611. I'm actually suggesting to everybody listening from Australia and the UK and other places, Skype in. Come on, Skype in. Use your Skype account. There will be a blue S button at the top of the viewer that you're listening to this show from. Press on that button, come into the switchboard and join in with us. That's the idea of this show. It's an interactive show. It's not just I will say spiritual waffle. It's got to be you as well. Now, we have got the chat room open, and we are encouraging people to throw questions in there and to carry on with the discussions in there. I am looking down from the gods. I am watching what's going on in there, and I will do the odd shout-out on the odd hello from time to time. But without further ado, I want to bring Sharon Tunbridge back into the show. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Matthew. Hello, good evening, and good evening.
Well, we're on cue with me, Sharon, so you'll have to forgive the applause being a little bit out of sync, but it's great to have you back.
Why, thank you very much. It's lovely to be back. Missed you.
Missed you as well. What have you been doing in the last 2 weeks? And you're going to say busy with readings. I'm psychic.
Busy. Readings. It's been brilliant, actually. I've had a really good fun couple of weeks.
Good.
I'm very tired. And I got a sniffle and a cold, but it's okay.
Vocal cords like then there, Polly?
Oh, my dulcet tones are always dulcet. I won't be doing up for tonight.
Ready for the good natter this evening, then?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to learning.
Awesome. Now, you wouldn't have got a word in edgeways last week because Maria was, put it this way, she's worse than me for nattering.
Well, that's good, though, as long as her nattering is interesting. And I heard it was a really brilliant show.
Yeah, and poor old Nikki Stewart, who can't make it on the show this evening because I think she's got family gathering. She could not get a word in edgeways last week.
Oh, well, I heard it was a good show, so clearly
it was.
Everybody enjoyed themselves. I shall look forward to listening next week when she's on again.
I think you might have to take a back seat this evening, knowing what me and our secret guest were discussing in the green room before the show. I've just got a sneaky suspicion, Sharon, that you're going to not be able to say very much or be able to get a word in edgeways.
I'll tell you what, Matthew, I am more excited probably than every listener is right now, because I know all there is to know about you two, and this is going to be an interesting and hugely fun show.
I think I better invite our guest on, hadn't I?
I think so.
Yeah, I can't keep the people in suspense any longer.
But you know what you've gone and done again, Matthew, don't you?
What?
You've done another three poms.
I know I have.
You're going to start getting a reputation soon, you know that.
Mm. This gentleman is on the air from London, and he wishes just to be known as Waheed from London. So good evening, Waheed from London. How are you?
Hello, Matthew. Hello, Sharon. Hello, everyone. I'm fine. Fine.
Excellent. Waheed, everybody. Now, Waheed is basically known to both me and Sharon, and Sharon sort of suggested that I brought you on the show this evening. And I know, I think we're going to have a really good conversation, Waheed.
I just hope I can live up to expectations. We'll see anyway.
I'm sure you will.
No expectations.
It's a night of learning.
Right.
It's a night for everyone.
Yeah. Let's kick off. I've sort of underlined symbolism. I know we're going to talk about other things, but let's start with symbolism. And do you want to say to the listeners what you said to me, what symbolism is, when we were in the green room?
Oh, okay. Can I remember now? This is, in my opinion, the way I look at it, this is a symbolic world that we live in. The most powerful parts of the world and the most powerful parts of the mind are all symbolic based. I'm not sure if a lot of people realize, but your subconscious mind, your conscious mind obviously understands, words and stuff, which is just a program, a symbolic program that you were taught at school and so on and so forth. But your subconscious mind doesn't understand words. It operates purely in words, in pictures and symbols and stuff. I suppose that's why, with dreams and stuff, they're all very symbolic, and the knack is trying to understand what they all mean.
What the pictures mean. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Dreams do tend to come in pictures and not words.
That's right. I mean, it is. It's your subconscious. I mean, I agree 100% with Waheed, because knowing the way that I, as a clairvoyant, and other clairvoyants work, how many times do people say, well, I'm getting this image, or I've got this symbol and I've got to interpret this symbol? It's your subconscious mind that is basically providing you with that information. So
I'm sure you psychics, whether consciously or unconsciously, you work with symbols all the time.
That's
all
right. I don't know, Sharon, you said, I don't
know.
No,
I said, I don't have any symbols. I feel deprived. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, but you said you get images. Well, images equals symbols. Hello, you get symbols.
Exactly, equals pictures. Are they symbols, though? If you're getting a feeling or a picture, I don't know, let's, for argument, say a dog, a black and white dog. That's a symbol.
It is a symbol. Look, a symbol can be anything from a brick, a red brick, to a light bulb, to a black and white dog, to a floor tile, to a white sliding door. It's a symbol.
A symbol. Now, I would have put a symbol in the category of, say, the eye of Horus, or a triangle shape, or a Reiki, you know, like a Reiki squiggly shape. That to me would represent a symbol.
Right. Well,
pictures and symbols are interchangeable. I mean, if you think of the tarot cards are traditionally like known as like symbolic. But look what's on the tarot cards. You've got pictures of things, people, men, women, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But they are termed as like symbolic. Pictures and symbols are both interchangeable things, basically. I mean, even words are symbolic words, you know, just the whole, this whole world is like a, it's a symbolic world. And it's amazing what you can see if you pay more attention to the symbols around you. Because I tell you what, the powers that be, they know all about symbology and they use it every day.
In advertising, dead right, they do. Colours are symbols. I mean, what I suppose we've got to do is break down what is meant by a symbol or symbolism. And my understanding is a symbol is a representation of something that has a meaning for either the person that is using that symbol or the person that's receiving that symbol. A symbol is something that's open to interpretation. And it's a symbol.
Absolutely.
Is the way that your subconscious communicates.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, one thing, I don't know much about the tarots, but what I do know, I remember, you know, reading about it, the one thing that they always say is that a tarot card, it's what it means to you. Not what it means to the reader, but what it means to you. What the concept, what the symbol means to you. I mean, a symbol is just a container for a concept. A word, a written word, is a container for a concept. You could even go as far as to say that, you know, speech is kind of like symbolic in a way. The thing is, what is behind all of this stuff is what's in your mind. It's getting that concept that's within your mind out into this three-dimensional space and time.
Correct. I mean, just quoting something out of some workshop notes, I do a part of a workshop that I call The Power of Symbols. And what I actually have put in here is that, and I'm quoting it, your own consciousness contains a vast library of milliseconds of observations, thoughts, sounds, sensations, feelings. A library which will be used during any communication. So in other words, everything that you are experiencing in the everyday, every second, every millisecond is recorded by your subconscious, and that is a library of symbols that can be used, that is basically used. It can be exploited. It can be used for good, benevolent means, I should say, or even for malevolent means.
It sounds like it's the most awesome database ever.
It is. Best way of putting it, isn't it? It is.
And just imagine how powerful one could be if you had unfettered access to that database.
That's right.
And we're in database that we're talking here, or database as we say in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Are we talking the universal database, you know, all is all knowing?
Oversoul,
Well, that's interesting. I mean,
the consciousness.
I'm firmly of the belief that we're all connected. I mean, it's hard one to get your head around. One concept that I've been like struggling with lately is, I have this theory that we are all part of one organism. Now, I don't know if this organism is not a three-dimensional organism, because if it was, you'd be able to see it. But we are, the way I kind of like look at it is, if you take a human body and you think that the human body is made up of cells. Now, all cells are pretty identical. The only difference between like a brain cell and a skin cell is that the skin cell knows that that's what its job is. It's a skin cell, and so it has to be skin. And the brain cell knows it's a brain cell, and it has to do things like think. But cells are actually really quite interesting in as much as every cell in the body has a blueprint of the overall organism. Every single little cell in your body knows what the organism looks like and
yeah,
knows what
you're talking
what
about. Everything is a hologram, aren't you?
More along the points that where I'm going with this really is, you know, there's a lot of conscious people around the world, okay, that, you know, want to see things change. And people are always like saying, oh, you know, you're so powerful, we're so powerful, we need to wake up, right, okay, you know, we can change the world if, you know, if we were to wake up. It's all very well and good saying all of that, but nobody actually gives you a clue about, like, how to do it. Thing is, how to do it, how to start doing it is really quite simple, in like, my opinion. And if you understand the dynamics of this organism, then you know, it will give people some indications of, like, the first step. If you can imagine that every cell in the body has a blueprint of the overall organism, so it knows that it's part of the human body. Now, every cell in the body also knows what its role is, and it also knows what the role of its neighbors are. And in a proper functioning body, every cell gets on with the job that it's been tasked to do. Now, the point that I'm making here is, I truly believe that we're all specialists. Every single last person on this planet is a specialist in a particular field. Unfortunately, our educational system is not geared towards helping you discover what your specialist field is. Okay? Although our educational system is not geared towards basically helping you understand, like, the blueprint. Now, what's really interesting is if you take the medical definition of cancer, or you look at what cancer is basically when one cell in the body decides to throw away the blueprint and decides not to obey the rules and to do what the hell it wants. It's not going to, like, do the job that it's been tasked to do. It's just going to do whatever it feels like doing. And when it starts infecting its neighbors, that's basically called cancer. I mean, in the world, I call that selfishness, when people just decide, I'm just going to do what I want to do and to hell with everybody else. And to me, the first step of being powerful is understanding that concept. And
it
is a very interesting concept. I mean, I know exactly what he's getting at, because this is why I was hinting at the fact that each cell is a hologram, or it's a part of the hologram, and it's got a perfect replica of all of everything else, because that's why you've got acupuncturists who can heal parts of the body with the feet or the energy meridians. You've got people who study the eyes, you've got people who study the palms, because all these areas are all holographic. They all contain the wholeness of the body. And when you actually slice a hologram up, every other bit of that hologram is a perfect replica of that hologram. And I'm a firm believer.
I understand what you mean now, Matthew. It was a night of learning. You just sparked something in me.
Yeah.
That is actually what I was like saying when I said every cell in the body has a blueprint of the body.
Yeah.
But I understand the concept of what you mean now, hologram, and yeah, you're absolutely right.
They're all a perfect replica of each other.
Absolutely.
And somehow through the DNA and through the light instruction and through the light what's actually beamed into the body, each cell is activated. The light activates each cell in a different way to give each one of those cells a different purpose. That part of the cell is going to create a nail, or that those cells are going to bunch together and create a heart or a kidney.
And light is another interesting concept that a lot of people don't understand.
This is the whole varied conversation we're going to have on this evening. We're obviously going to touch on a lot of matters, and we've gone from symbolism to holograms to cancer. I'm going to go to the mention of what you said about the Genesis in the Bible, to what I said about that we all incarnate through our DNA and we're manifested into this plane, which probably is a very difficult concept for people who are hearing the concept for the first time. But I'm sure you are here to understand exactly what I'm saying, because you're quite conversant in these matters.
So I just wanted to pick up on this point of light. And just, you know, break it down a little bit. Light is information. At the core of it, that's basically what it is. It's like information. This is why the Illuminati call themselves the illuminated ones.
Yeah.
The enlightened ones. The bright ones.
Yeah.
Because the brighter you are, mm-hmm. the more information you can accept. Now, it's interesting what you said about cells being holographic, and it's yeah. about how the light impacts them, i.e. how the information hits them, basically, yeah. how the information hits the cell, okay, which yeah. will, which will give it the information so it can do what it's meant to do.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, what people probably don't understand, or maybe they do understand, maybe there are a lot of people who are listening who do understand this, that all our instructions, all our memories, everything that constitutes us as human beings is actual light energy, and is actually beamed to us, and it is received by our DNA, and the source of all that information is actually the sun, or the suns that are in the universe. And our brains receive that information that is transmitted to us and interprets that into a language that our subconscious understands. And that is basically what is being tampered with when our DNA is being changed and food is being genetically modified, and they're trying to cut down on our vitamin E and vitamin D in the body, and trying to all these things that are being covertly done. The whole idea is to change the form of light that our body is receiving.
It's right from the days of the Bible, starting with the book of Genesis. It's always been about DNA. It always was about DNA, and it always will be about DNA. This whole thing, the battle of light and darkness, which is, you know, an interesting concept in itself, you know. I think it's Ezekiel or whatever, you know, where, like, Lucifer, has been, like, thrown out of, like, heaven. And yeah. he's at war with the Creator. Now, Lucifer knows quite well that he cannot defeat the Creator. You cannot defeat Source.
No.
Okay? But what Lucifer, his plan basically is to pollute the Creator's creation. And the way to do that is through the DNA. It always has been about
always
DNA.
Always will be.
And always will be. Messing around with the food, like you said. Messing around with water, all the stuff that they're doing at CERN, basically anything that
heart,
you can see,
chemtrails,
that
everything, sodium fluoride,
it's DNA.
Aspartame,
it's DNA.
Yeah,
it's DNA. Mm-hmm. Right in Genesis, what does it say? When the fallen ones came down here, right? Yeah, they basically mated with everything. I'm being polite here. They basically mated with everything. Why did they do that? If you remember, it's a genetic weapon. It's a weapon of war. This is what generally happens in war. They've done it in Bosnia with like the Muslims. The Germans done it with like the Jews. You have absolute hatred for a culture or a race, and you want to commit genocide. Okay, you basically rape them.
That's right.
You rape them and you breed with them and to pollute their seed.
Yeah, and also to basically dilute their bloodline, their history, their memory, their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Do you think this,
why do you think,
this could be why a lot of... So could this be why a lot of the very, very, very intensely famous families throughout the world stick to a very strict breeding regime?
They breed amongst themselves, yeah.
I was just about to say that. They don't want their seed polluted.
Yeah. I read was scary. I was reading in the either the Daily Mail or the Sun newspaper today about this, that Channel 4 in the UK are going to be starting doing live Ramadan services, and they reckon by 2015 the UK is going to be a Muslim country.
Not just the UK, the Germany's already accepted that. I can't remember how long it is. Germany's already accepted that within a certain period of time, it's going to be a Muslim country. Colonel Gaddafi was jumping up and down about that. He says, brilliant, we've conquered them and we didn't even have to fire a shot.
But, I mean, going back into ancient history, Waheed, and this is one of my pet subjects, the history that we know about Egypt, right, the Nubians, right, the black Nubians is what we associate with Egypt. And we've always associated that Egypt is a Muslim country. But the truth of the matter is that the true Egyptians were blue-eyed blondes, and it was anything but a Muslim country. And what's happening to the UK is what happened in Egypt. Because if you were to say now, oh, about 3,000, 4,000 years ago, you know that Egypt was wasn't a Muslim country, and it had blonde, blue-eyed blonde whites ruling the country, everybody would say, oh, sorry, you, I don't know what have you been drinking, what have you been on? It's going to be like in 300 years time when somebody says, oh, I believe that we had Christians and we had Druids and we had pagans in the UK. People are going to go, don't think so, matey, it's always been a Muslim country. And I think that's what's actually happening.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Certainly from that part of the world, the Phoenician culture is actually a very interesting one. I mean, you can talk about the Phoenicians till the cows come home. I mean, that's the kind of root of our modern banking system and our laws and like so on and so forth. And it was like from that lot that, you know, like the Knights Templar, got a lot of their technology to be honest. It's, but like what you said about, you know, Egyptians being blue-eyed blondes, and it's a constant cycle that's just been, nothing's changed.
That's right.
You know, it just goes round and round and round and round.
That's
and
right.
Again.
There's an interesting video that I was actually watching today. It's actually on my blog. It's marry-gamiel.blogspot.com.au, which is a light in the darkness. It's something called Zero Point. There's a 2-hour, it's actually a 2-hour YouTube video, and it's actually going about the messages from the past, all the ancient civilization. All the ancient civilizations, it comes to the conclusion that that Antarctica is actually Atlantis, but there was a crustal shift that the crust moved. It also goes into the fact that if geologists were correct, and there's been ice over Antarctica for 3 million years, how come some of the explorers of the 14th and 15th century had maps that actually showed Antarctica without ice, and it showed all the mountains and all the streams. And what they're basically saying is it's either, if the geologists are right and the ice has been there for 3 million years, then there was an existence on our planet 3 million years ago, which basically defies all the known theories about the Earth plane. The likelihood is that the ice has only been on Antarctica for about 10 to 15,000 years, and there is a distinct possibility that Antarctica is Atlantis, and when there was the huge deluge and there was the huge Earth changes, there was a continental shift, and Antarctica found its way where it is today. What do you think about that, Waheed? Sharon?
I am just fascinated by this conversation. My little ears are burning and flapping, and I'm loving every minute of it. Do I have an opinion on that? The only thing I'll add to that, as you were speaking, is I think we are a very backward race. I think we have very much to learn, and we probably won't learn it for a few billion years. Yeah. I personally think that history gets rewritten whenever anybody fancies it. And we're probably somehow mind-controlled to forget anything we learned previously.
Yeah, because the other interesting thing is there's areas of desert that have got green sand, or like it's like a green glass. Areas that where all the sand has been melted in such a way that it turns green. You know when there's a nuclear blast in a desert, Sharon? What happens to the sand?
It fuses, doesn't it, and turns green,
like a green glass. Yet there's areas of the world in deserts that have been found that have been large areas of this infused glass, that there's been no nuclear testing. But the strangest thing is, when they actually test those areas for radioactivity, the radioactivity goes off the scale. So in other words, there has been nuclear testing or nuclear holocausts in about 15,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, 30,000 years ago. And in fact, in some of the Indian folklore, in some of the Indian historic records, they talk about these nuclear blasts and this nuclear war.
And I just wanted to... Go on, Matthew, sorry.
That's okay.
I just wanted to just kind of twist the subject a bit here.
Yep.
And take into account some of the stuff that we were talking about earlier. If I can address this by going back to symbology.
Cool.
Okay. And I was saying that a lot of the stuff is in your face and you don't realize it. So let's look at the word history.
Yep.
History is two words. His
story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fraud.
Yeah.
Right. If you have two people in court, one's got one version of the story and another one's got another version of the story. Now, history, okay, is basically the story of the conqueror. Now, the conqueror is going to tell you what he wants you to know to glorify himself.
Correct.
He's not actually going to tell you the truth. So I don't really engage in conversations about, history said this, but how can it be so? Because it's all a fraud. I know it's a fraud.
Correct.
You know? So I don't really need to talk about it basically that much. You've just got to try and figure out, well, why is it a fraud?
Just hold that thought a second, because I just want to encourage or invite people to actually come on to the show, to either call in on 760-283-4611 or to Skype in and to join in these discussions with us. We do have some callers on the switchboard already, so we will be taking some calls very shortly. Now, what I want to just do is I just want to take a quick music break. Just a quick music break. So we'll go back to the conversation that we were on, Waheed, in probably about 5 minutes. I actually want to play a bit of Led Zeppelin because I've not played Led Zeppelin on the show for ages. So I'm just in a bit of, I'm in a nostalgia mood. So I'm just going to play a piece of music and we'll be back shortly.
Cool. Okay.
My world, it smiles. Your hand in mine, we walk the mile. Thanks to you, it will be dark. For you to me, I'm the only one. The sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. Mountains crumble to the sea.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is Conversations with Spirit here on Mike Spirit FM. My name's Matthew James. I am your host. I am a clairvoyant medium. I am actually Canberra-based, so the studio of Mike Spirit FM this evening is actually in Canberra. I am actually encouraging people to come in to the show and to actually share with your conversations on this night of learning. We do actually have, like I say, some callers, so we will be taking live calls, but we are encouraging most people to actually Skype in. It's a lot easier if you Skype in. I am sort of encouraging people, please come on the show and share your conversations with us. Now, just before the break, Waheed was talking extensively about some very interesting subjects. Now, Waheed, can you remind me what you were talking about? I've forgotten.
That's okay.
Misty is the best policy.
I wanted to go back to what I call the bleeding
symbolism.
Obvious. Yeah, and the word history, and how history is a version of the truth. It's his story. And if you, like I said, I like to be able to relate and everything back to real life. If you get two parties that are in conflict and you ask one person what happened and you ask the other person what happened, you'd get two conflicting stories. Now, history is always written by the conqueror. Okay, so you're going to get his version of the truth. Now, logic will tell you that history is basically a fraud. It's a version of the truth. It
it's
is not
BS,
the
basically.
Truth.
It does. It
yes.
certainly gets uncovered year by year, doesn't it? When new discovery, new truth coming out, and it all gets a bit muddled-eed.
Absolutely. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff can be explained in like religious context, and in context of like extraterrestrials. Now, You were talking about Muslim religion and Christianity and lot whatever. I'm toying with the idea at the moment that all of these concepts, okay, and we know what a concept is now. It's just something in the mind, in the subconscious that you have to put into a container, which is a word or a symbol, to actually manifest it.
And it's limited by that word or subject or that symbol. It's actually limited by that vibration.
It's a container. So, a container has limits. So, you know, it's never going to really represent the pure essence of it. But I think all this stuff is alien technology. I think it's alien technology, it's the way that whoever it is has conquered this planet. It's very difficult for man to think outside of three dimensions. And in three dimensions, because in this world, okay, of three dimensions, energy is like solidified into solids, liquids, and gases. All of our concepts are based around that. But if you can try and, you know, just think out of the box for a moment and try and think further than three dimensions, people always seem to think, oh, if aliens are going to come down, right, okay, it's going to be like War of the Worlds and like so on and so forth. They might have evolved so far that they don't actually bother with all of that. They don't bother with getting their hands dirty by, you know, actually like killing people. I mean, actually, you can understand this a little bit more if you look at like, you know, things like the Illuminati and the elites and look at the way that they do things. Going back to school, if we go back to school for a moment, in school they spend so much time, right, okay, trying to teach you logical thinking. Well, actually, that's a fraud as well, because they don't teach you logic, because there's so much more to logic than what they teach you in school. Okay, if you spend any time what they call daydreaming, which in my world is being creative and using the other side of your mind, the creative side, the symbolic side, which is hugely powerful, they freak out. They freak out. They don't want you doing it. They start saying that there's something wrong with you. You're maladjusted, right? Yeah, this and that and so on and so forth. But let's look at
it. Like, how many people who are left-handed, right, at schools are discouraged from being left-handed? I know I was at school. That's a classic example.
It's a classic example because basically your brain is wired slightly differently and it scares the hell out of them, right? Yeah. You know, it just absolutely scares the hell out of them. The point that I'm making about the way that they teach you in school is basically if you start being creative, they seem to get like really scared. So when they get really scared, I just start thinking, well, what is it that they're scared of? What is it that they're trying to hide? You look at the world and you look at how control is exercised over us. Control is not exercised over us through logic. Control is exercised over us through the emotions.
Through fear.
And maybe...
It's all fear-based.
It's an emotion. Emotions is the soft underbelly of humans, right? And that's why when you start being creative, which is very emotive in itself, they don't want you anywhere near that because you're getting really close to their power source.
That's right.
Exactly. Enlightenment.
Right, on that note, we're going to take a call. We're going to take our first live call. It's area code 818. Now, I honestly don't know what the call is going to be about. So, Polly, could you be having your arm twisted for readings if this is a reading call?
Of course I am, because I've only sat here being lazy, listening and loving the show.
Okay, so you can go first and I can go second then if this is a live reading, then cool. I can take a back seat. Fantastic.
As long as it's not mediumship, because you'll be going first, Matthew.
Okay, let's take area code 818. Hello, area code 818. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from? Hello, 818. I know, we've got a direct line to the spirit world here, and there's nobody there. Oh, well, I'll take the next call. Hello, area code 951. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
It's Nathaniel calling from Corona.
Oh, well, it's the spirit world calling. Hang on a minute. I heard someone then. Hello, area code 951.
Hello.
Please. Okay. We have got the usual little
gremlins.
Yeah, gremlins on air. Gremlins on air, we'll call it. I'll give 818 another go.
Come on then. Third time lucky.
Hello, 818. What's your name, please? Where are you calling from? No, that's definitely the spirit world, definitely, and there's no one home. Oh, well.
Well,
right.
We can possibly take some questions in the chat room if anybody has any.
Yeah, because you remember you were on the show once where we had probably about 7 or 8 callers, Sharon, and I tried every single one of them and not one of them could we connect to.
No, it happens that, well, you know, maybe it's meant to be.
I take it as a sign, as a symbol,
what our show's about.
To carry on wittering. But I'm still going to encourage people to
carry on learning
anyway. Please still try calling and make a connection with us. It's just the way that this show goes, because we deal with spirit, we get odd sensations. So, Sharon, I think we're going to change subject. We'll go back to what our friend Wahid was talking about, but what do you want to talk about, Sharon? Because this is like you're a guest as well.
I've been very quiet, haven't I? What would I like to talk about?
There was a question.
You know the one I'm always interested in, and that's your mediumship, Matthew, because I'm still trying to figure out how you do it. You're supposed to be teaching us, remember? Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah.
We say about 3 weeks ago we were going to have a little chat about the beginning, the basics.
I mean, you've caught me right out there. I suppose the way to start this is that we have the basics that everybody's heard about. We have the psychic senses. We have the clairs. We have the clairaudience, the clairsentience, the clairsentience. We have the clairvoyance. We have the clairgustience, and we have the clairalliance. And they are all basically linked to the five human senses. So in other words, for each of the basic five human senses, for this five sensory reality, we have a correspondent clair or extra sense, so to speak. What ties in nicely with what Waheed was talking about was that our brain, right, works with symbolism. It works on a different wavelength or a different language to our five sensory reality. My understanding what mediumship is actually collective telepathy. It's actually a form of telepathy. Mediumship, in my understanding, is telepathy from one consciousness to another. The problem that you've actually got is we're at the bottom of the bloody pile here. We're at the slowest mass. We're in the manifest plane. Anything else that's going to communicate to us, their information, their signals, got to come down into our language, so to speak. It's right. Going to be downgraded. It's going to be brought down into our reality. This is where the five senses, where the five psychic senses come in. It's our translator.
Right. Us down here on this earth plane, we kind of like, if it were the internet, we're on dial-up.
We're on dial-up, yeah. And they're on super speedy, ultra-fast broadband. Because let's face it, this whole collective, this whole existence is shaping up to be a huge internet. And we're all separate, or we're made to feel we're separate, and we're all in our own reality. We're all on our own in our reality, and everybody else is a figment of our imagination, or we are basically interfacing into the same reality, but we're all separate, but we're together, if you understand what I'm saying.
That concept in IT is something that's been exploited quite extensively in the last couple of years, which is what's basically enables Skype and all this technology. Basically, it's private space within shared space.
That is correct. Now, going back to what I was actually trying to explain, was when an entity from one of these higher realities communicates with us, which they do, because that is the right of consciousness. Consciousness is not separate at all. Consciousness is like one big open room. We can see what everybody else is doing. We can hear what everybody else is doing. We can see what everybody else is doing. And for some reason, naughty Lucifer or Belial or whatever you wanted to call him had some naughty thoughts. And he didn't want everybody else to know. So he invented separateness. And that's what's happened to us, guys. But everybody else in that big open room is still communicating with us. But we can't understand what they're saying, because all we get is high-pitched whistles and beeps and different types of things that are going on in our heads. Our brain has then got to decipher, downgrade, translate that information from those higher consciousnesses to go into our five sensory reality. That's where the five psychic senses come in. So if you get someone's grandmother, right?
Yeah.
Right, and grandmother wishes to communicate through me to you, she has got to somehow go, how the hell is this guy going to understand that it's Paul's grandmother? I know. I'll give him my aches and pains. So she impresses on me the memory of her aches and pains, and through clairsentience and clairsentience, they're two separate things, I get her body conditions. I feel her body conditions. I know what her spirit felt like. I know what her body felt like. And I can convey to you, because I'm getting the impression that I've got a female, I will go, right, I've got a female here, and I've got this ache, I've got this pain, I've got all this happening. And then she might then say, oh, bugger, he doesn't know who I am. So then her consciousness enters into my consciousness and tweaks my memory of a grandmother.
Right.
And I'll then go, I know I've got your grandmother here, Paul. She's telling me she got this ache and pain, blah, 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 blah. You'll then confirm to me, yes, that's my grandmother because those are her aches and pains. So yes. What's basically happened is the translation from her, I've received her information to let me know that she's here.
So let's start from the beginning so everybody's clear. So we're starting a nice fresh session.
Yep.
And the first contact that you're aware of, how does that feel? The very first moment that you're making that connection, what's the first thing that happens to you?
I'll start with a bloody ache or a pain that I didn't have moments before.
Right, so you're immediately getting that physical sensation.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've had your grandmother through before, and I know I get this around the bloody lung and chest area.
She does prefer your wife, though, to be fair.
Yeah, but I would get that ache and pain. So I'd be starting with a chest condition, and I would know I've got a chest condition. And I know from my experience that, hey, I've got a connection coming in here. I'm then tweaked that I know I've got a grandmother. So I can say, I know I've got a grandmother. And if the communication's right, I can even say which side of the family that grandmother's on.
Right. So first you're getting that physical sensation. You're now aware they're here. Then they're passing on their body sensations and
then,
showing you as much as they can. And then they bring into your brain their words and the messages they want.
Once I know I've got that person, Paul, what will then happen generally, which is where the clairvoyance comes in, I'll then start getting this symbolism. My subconscious will then start getting the information she wants to convey. It can be a vision of a cookery utensil, or it can be the picture of a light bulb, or however my brain interprets it. Or it can be straight away, I'm hearing voices in my head, which are my own thoughts, which is she's speaking to me, and that information is being downgraded, and my brain is picking it up as clairaudience.
Right.
But it's not that. It's still not mediumship,
isn't it?
No, because that's the initial. That's effectively me answering the telephone and hearing what she has to say.
So you've just picked up the receiver at that point.
Yeah, and I passed that information on. You've then validated that that is indeed my grandmother, and that is indeed what she would say, and that's indeed how she is. The mediumship is then when I go back to grandmother and I say, okay, grandmother, Paul's accepted the charges. She's going to take your call. She knows you're there. What the hell have you got to say? And then there's the interplay. There's then the two-way going on. And generally what a proof of mediumship is that she will let me know what you're thinking or what you've been doing that day or the day before or what's on your mind. Or you might start asking me a question and I'm answering that question before ever you've even started answering it because it's telepathy. It's
so then you're really explaining a conference call. Now we've got a three-way conference call.
Correct.
My energy, your energy, and grandma's energy.
Yeah, and it's consciousness to consciousness to consciousness, but she can't go directly to you because you are not aware that broadcast's there. The broadcast is there because mediumship is on a broadcast frequency. It's like this radio, this show being beamed out, and there's more than one person listening to it. I am just tuned in listening to her broadcast and I can pass it on.
Right.
So mediumship is really what happens in, like, for example, a gallery reading or a platform reading or a stand-up show. Mediumship, more than one person can receive that information at the same time. Everybody will feel that emotional level or feel it. And it's a broadcast. It's an all-point broadcast that everybody can hear. That's mediumship. Anything else is not mediumship. And do you know when you see those live shows and half of the audience really are not bothered about the message that's being delivered?
Yeah.
That's not mediumship that's being delivered by the person on the stage. Mediumship is when you hold the audience in raptures. The whole audience is feeling for the person who's receiving the information. It's almost as if they're receiving the information themselves, and it's so quiet in the auditorium, you can hear a pin drop. It's got everybody's attention. That's mediumship.
Wow, no, that's a fantastic explanation, and I do understand it. So,
Matthew, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
I've been listening to this, and it appears to me that, would you say that telepathy is the natural language of humans?
It is. It is 100%. And how I prove that, and I can prove that. I can't prove it by an example now because separateness switches that telepathy off, but ants are telepathic, yes.
Okay.
Birds are telepathic. Monkeys are certainly telepathic because there was 100 monkey syndrome. And what that's actually about is that there was a colony of monkeys on some South Sea island somewhere that had been trained by some US Army guys to pick up knives and forks and basically feed themselves off plates, right? They were actually trained to do that over a number of years. Amazingly, thousands of miles away, somewhere else in the world, monkeys, without being shown, started picking up knives and forks and spoons and started doing what those monkeys had been trained to be done. It's a well-documented thing, this.
Yes, I think I've read about that too.
And it's the oversoul, it's telepathy. So basically, there is probably 90%, 95%, 98% of the world species that are telepathic. You get animals that know exactly what each is doing, and they've not even uttered a word. That's telepathy. Therefore, if they're all telepathic, scientists admit that our DNA and all the other species of DNA on the planet are virtually identical. So what they're saying is, if there is a species of animal that they prove is telepathic, it means that they're actually admitting that we're telepathic as well.
An interesting thing that you hear from couples in love, true love, real love, not no fake love, but one common thing that you'll hear from couples that are truly in love, they say that we don't have to speak, right? We just know what each other's feeling.
Correct. I experienced that. On countless occasions, nearly every day with my wife, Chris, because I'll just literally say, oh, I fancy a Chinese for tea tonight, love. And she says, I was just thinking where we're going for tea tonight or what we're having for tea tonight. And I will just answer her question without saying a word. And then we do it on a regular basis.
There's reference to this in the Bible, or certainly one of the holy scriptures. It's called the Tower of Babel. Going back to what you were saying at the start, apparently, right, humans were getting it together, right? They'd conquered the selfishness, you know, they understood the concept of love, which is where the power is. It's all in love. And they were apparently building this tower to the sky. Yeah. Apparently, the gods came down and said, oh, my God. Right, yeah, these guys are getting too powerful. They're going to be God soon if they carry on that way. We need to stop them. So what they've done is, right, okay, is they banished them to all the different corners of the world and made them speak all different languages.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, this is the interesting thing, and I'm just going to say a big shout out to Keelan on the actual chat room page, because he's actually quoted something which is really interesting. He said telepathy is one of the ancient knowledges that was forbidden to us in the fall of Atlantis. It's very true. I firmly believe we were a telepathic race, right? And I firmly believe we had the power of speech, but it was probably nothing more than the odd expression, the odd grunt or the like, but we were telepathic. And I firmly believe that the gods, the Elohim, the Nephilim, however you want to describe those fallen gods, invented language, taught us to speak, and created all these different languages to separate us, to control us, and later to divide us and turn ourselves against each other.
And certainly, well, this is what I was certainly to confuse us as well, because I think
dead right.
Like you always say, communication is probably the mother of all, because we just can't communicate. We find it difficult to find the right words and to interpret those words and pass on those meanings between each other. How often do we get it wrong?
That's right.
This is what I was trying to say earlier, very badly, of course, when I was, you know, trying to, because this is one of the things that I was trying to say is like alien technology, religion, language. As far as I'm concerned, it's like all alien technology. This story of the Tower of Babel, you've just explained a concept to me, because when humans had it together and they were building the Tower of Babel, it says quite clearly that we all spoke one language. Now, when I first read this story, I thought it was one vocal language. But after listening to you, I just started thinking, you know what? The way Matthew's talking here, we were probably telepathic. This language that we spoke, right, it was telepathy.
Of course
and
it
we
was.
Were given, and we were given verbal language. Yeah, it was oneness. Funny enough, Matthew, when you were telling the story, okay, I didn't want to interrupt. So on my notepad, I put down concept of oneness. That was what I wanted to bring up.
Well, we're telepathic then. We are all, we are, as a collective species, we are telepathic. And the idea is that I believe at one time we only had one brain hemisphere. We basically had the right brain hemisphere. And through genetic modification, through all the DNA tampering, they've introduced the left brain. They've introduced the R complex. And to me, it is a mechanism that actually attunes us into the reality that we're in. This is not it's not the true reality that we're supposed to be on. This is an interface into something that really isn't there. It's a delusion.
That's actually really interesting. I never thought about that. Why do we have two halves of brain?
Look at the left brain. It's condescending. It works on it's very ritualistic. It's got a survival mechanism. It's where the ego is. It's where the inner critic is.
Part of the brain that's nurtured the most in our society.
It's the hive mind. It even looks reptilian when you see it, when you actually see the bloody shape of the R complex. It looks like it's some kind of interface with a perception of this reality that is locked into the five senses. The five psychic senses do not touch the left brain. They're the right brain.
There's a lot of things that they don't tell you about and they are hiding. If you look at DNA, we're told we've got, you know, like 23 chromosomes. Well, actually, if you speak to a microbiologist or a scientist or a geneticist, what you'll find is we've actually got 24 chromosomes.
Do you know what the interesting thing is about the DNA, before I forget? An eminent Japanese scientist looked closely at our DNA, and he said, do you know the strands of the DNA in the so-called junk DNA, he said, that is alien, and it's definitely functioning, and it's definitely got extraterrestrial origin to it. And he says, and do you know the part of the human DNA that is actually operating? He says, it's very much like it was a cassette tape, that somebody has cut sections out, spliced sections out, turned other areas upside down, and it has been tampered with. He said the sequencing in some areas is upside down. And that is an eminent scientist, and he says we have most certainly victims of genetic modification, and our DNA has been manipulated.
The concept that I was making will basically complement what you have just like said. We actually have 24 chromosomes. But what's happened is two of those chromosomes have been fused together to make 23. Basically, there's one chromosome that's actually two that's been fused together. Now, you ask any scientist, that's not an act of nature. Nature does not fuse chromosomes together.
And nature has everything balanced. It, I mean,
that is an
nature
act of,
is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. It's not 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. So 23 is an unnatural number.
Most of the other primates have got 24.
Yeah.
We're the only ones. We're the only species on the planet that they have found that in their DNA we've got chromosomes that have been fused together. Now that's intervention, right? Okay.
Well, definitely.
That's intervention. That's artificial engineering. That was not nature.
Right. Let's hold that thought again. Should we? Wahid, I just want to play a music break. We've got some more callers which I want to take. This is a fascinating subject that I know our listeners will be listening to. I just want to take a music break.
I'm looking in the chat room and Keelan Lewis has got some fascinating stuff that he's sharing with us on there. We should have a look at that when we come back too.
I know, we shall. About the 64 strands of the DNA, we shall. Now, what I'm actually going to say to everybody, Wahid is going to be back on the show again. I just know he's going to be back on because this subject, we barely scratched the surface of what we're going to be talking about in future weeks. But
it's an iceberg, Matthew. It's an iceberg.
I know it is. And on that, let's have a 5-minute break. A bit of Peter Gabriel. If I can get it to work. No, wrong one. We had that as the opener. Okay, come on. Song, start. Okay, here we go. Oh, wrong one again. I think the spooks are working on this show, Sharon. Okay. That's better.
They're allowed to join us. That's what it's all about. Conversations with spirit. We can't exclude spirit, can we, Matthew?
That's right. A bit of sledgehammer, everybody.
You better call the sunshine.
Welcome back to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. It's 9:21 at night here in Canberra, in the ACT in Australia. And with me in the studio is the fascinating Waheed from London. What is it? Is it 12:22 in the morning for you, Waheed? Is it in London?
That's correct. Midday.
Midday, and it's what, 11:22 in the evening for you, Sharon, in Auckland?
Yeah, I'll be turning into a pumpkin in what, 18 minutes?
Wow, it's amazing, yeah, these time zones.
I probably haven't done good adding up there, but it's roughly 18 minutes. You'll know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's what, 40 minutes?
Yeah,
38 minutes. There you go. Let's just take a call. I mean, part of this show is to actually encourage people to actually call in. And we do actually have 818 waiting patiently on the line for us.
Let's bring 818 on.
Hello, 818. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, my name's Marie and I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Marie. Are you enjoying the show?
I am, and actually when you tried speaking to me a little bit earlier, I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me.
Oh, you were the spirit world calling, that's right. I'm,
no, we couldn't hear you.
I was thinking on my feet, because there was silence there, I thought, can't get anyone, it must be the spirit world. How can we help you today?
I would love if you have any messages. I have a lot of loved ones on the other side, so whether it's a loved one or a spirit guide, I would love to hear anything.
Okay. I mean, my first sense is of how long is a piece of string? Which person do I get? We've got limited time. So I'm actually going to pluck out of the ethers a grandmother and a grandfather here. And grandmother and grandfather want to come in because they knew the true meaning of love and they knew what love was about and they knew all about the emotional responses from each other. And I think grandmother is trying to emphasize to you that you've been kind of hurt lately, Marie. That's the feeling that she's given me.
Yes.
And she seems to think that you're looking for, let's say, the person that you're looking for cannot be a carbon copy of someone else. So in other words, she's just a little bit concerned that you've got to get other people, another person out of your head before you're ready to actually move on, if that makes sense.
It does.
Now, Do you know anybody that actually has driven around with a Ford pickup, or is that was that grandfather's pride and joy? And did he wear like a baseball hat cap?
Well, unfortunately, I never got to meet my grandfather's. I don't know.
He's kind of sure here that you're going to go on the road or you're on your travels. And he's seeming to point towards a job situation or a business situation that you're considering, which is either interstate or is certainly in another city. Do you know about that?
I don't. Uh-uh.
Now, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, is it, that you could go interstate with a job or with a work situation?
There is a trade show coming up in Las Vegas next month that I'm considering going to, but I'm currently separated and I have two daughters, so moving out of city or out of state for the time being, no. But traveling to business trade shows or what have you.
Well, all I'm aware that he's What I'm aware of, say, Maria, is that there is a distinct possibility, but in order for it to actually work out how you would like it, it would have to be a mighty fine package for it to be seriously considered. I don't think he wants you out of the confines of California, because you love being in the Sunshine State, don't you? You love being in California.
I do, but I'm definitely considering when my youngest daughter, my oldest just graduated high school, but when my youngest goes off to college, I would definitely consider moving elsewhere.
Right. He's sort of reiterating this change of focus, this change of you've got to reconsider or redesign or re-illustrate your life. The way he's pitching it is, do you do a design or graphic design work at all, or is that just an interest?
It's an interest, but no, it's out of my league.
Now, he sort of informed me that you were going to say, out of my league, that's beyond me. He's saying that you've got to lift your parameters, you've got to lift your own self-beliefs, you've got to lift your own focus higher. You've had too many knockbacks. That's what's been influencing you.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's hoping that I'm going to use the terminology that you would understand, because this is what he's given me. Certainly by the fall or by Thanksgiving, he's anticipating big improvements for you.
Oh, good.
Because it's got to come in. It has just got to come in. He's a little bit solemn about the way that you are actually treated by an ex. He's very solemn about it. And he understands that you're actually bitter because you actually fell out of love with someone you didn't think you were going to fall out of love with. And the way he treated you is not just one thing. He says there's a whole multitude of things that he's not going to mention now, but you know what he's talking about. And it's just horrendous what he did to you. Now, Sharon...
Do you think it's my father? Because I've been feeling my father's presence around me.
Okay, did your father have an old... Would he have had that Ford pickup? Would he have been the one that would have had, say, a baseball cap? Would he have been the one that liked to drive around town and go and visit his old cronies, his friends?
That's so funny you should say that. I don't know the truck. I was born in New York City, but my parents grew up in Cuba, and I wouldn't be surprised when he was younger, he did live sort of on a big farm-like estate. I wouldn't be surprised. And he did like to drive. He loved cars.
Right. So
and I have to say, I'm sorry.
I've got a good feeling that I've probably got your father, because that the vibration I've actually got is somebody who's still offering a helping hand, and I would understand that your father would have done all that he can to actually help you.
Yeah, and it's funny you should say that, because I do feel his presence a lot when I'm in the car.
Now,
when I'm driving.
Maria, I'm going to have to call for time here, because as you can hear, the buzz has gone off. We sort of have a limited time for reading, so I'm going to have to thank you for actually calling in to the show, and hope that it's actually going to help for you.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate your time, and I do enjoy your shows. I have listened to many of them in the archives, so thank you.
Well, don't. Sorry we didn't get a chance to chat, but don't forget, you can book a private reading, my love, if you want to get into some private stuff with Matt. I think you guys had a beautiful connection going there. There'll be a lot to learn.
Thanks, Sharon.
And I just wanted to also validate the baseball. My dad loved baseball. Like I said, he was Cuban. And when you mentioned
I saw a cap on this gentleman's head.
That's awesome.
Well, okay, Marie, thank you for that. Thank you for calling in. Okay, back on to topic. Where are we going again, Waheed? We were talking about DNA, weren't we?
We were talking about DNA, and I was just like listening to the call, and I was just thinking, you know, Christ, if everybody knew they were telepathic, you guys would be out of a job.
I know. Tell me about it. If there was telepathy...
No, it's not all glamour, Waheed.
just think of the concept of oneness. Your every thought, your every action, everything would be monitored by everybody else. But, hey, isn't that what the elite are trying to do now? They've got mind-reading machines. And they're trying to introduce mind crimes, and they're trying to bring all this in.
Yeah, but they'll fail because they're criminally insane, so it's not going to work.
Well, I know, but they're going to actually try.
They're going to try. They'll make life a bit uncomfortable for people, but love conquers all. Love conquers all.
That's right.
And that's the important concept that people have to. I mean, whatever they, you know, it's like the power of humans. We just have to find that handbook. We just have to find, you know, that holographic blueprint that we were talking about earlier on, and realize what we're actually capable of. Their power comes from our weakness and our ignorance and our lack of education and our lack of consciousness. They would disappear in a heartbeat, in a puff of smoke, if you know, the human organism were up en masse.
I channeled something quite interesting recently. I'm still on with a series of documents that I call the Chronicles of Ezra, which is old Atlantean teachings, old Atlantean memories. It's all basically about the crisis, about what the crisis we're experiencing in the planet, how it got to that, what's caused it, solutions about how to get out of this crisis. And I got given something which was very interesting, that we entered this realm freely. We used our free will to enter, right? We're supposed to use our free will to navigate this existence, and we're supposed to have the right of free will to leave whenever we wish. But what I actually had it explained to me was, yeah, we've got the right of free will to get in here, but our free will to leave has been taken away, and our free will to clearly decide how we want this reality to manifest has been taken away as well. And
Matthew, would you say taken away, or did we give it away?
We give it away, because what actually happens is we have been manipulated into thinking that The things we have in our lives are what we need. What we do in our life is what we're supposed to do. And it's all about having our free will drained away from us quite manipulatively.
There was a concept that I said to someone the other day, and it's just basic like logic, you know, the logic that they don't teach you in school, which is quite obvious. I've always like said, I think Sharon will vouch for me here, I've always said, if you do what everybody else does, you get the same results as everybody else.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. 95% of the wealth of the planet is owned by 5% of the people. That tells you that 5% of the people are doing something different.
Yeah. Well, it's always the person that is... What I don't like to be called is Norm. I don't want to be Norman. I don't want to be that sheep in the fold. I don't want to be the one that follows everybody else. I much prefer being that sheep whose fur is a bit black and I'm not Norm. I want to do things that are against the norm.
You have to find your own creativity. This is the one thing that they didn't teach anybody in school. You know, you used to get lines or used to get caned if you used to, like, explore that part of your, of like, your existence, you know. But you have to find your own creativity. You have to make your own space and you know, make your own world. And
you know how
and,
you do that? And this is for everybody who's listening. Do you know how you do that? You ignore the identity that the left brain wants you to be. You ignore the straw person that you are born as. You ignore your corporate name. Those capital letters that you get on those legal documents. You ignore the person that everybody anticipates that you are. Because you ignore your persona, you tune into your right brain and you become your true self, you become your true individual. You do not be the ego, you do not be the individual that society dictates you to be. Sorry, it makes you rebellious not to be that person, but that person is the straw person. That is that false personality that the elite want you to be, because as that straw person, you can be controlled because you conform.
But how would you advise the masses to overcome the fear? Because it's fear that keeps us in chains.
That is the big question. I don't think you can do it on the collective, unfortunately, because this world would be intolerable. You couldn't live in this world if the masses did it. I believe it has to be done gradually. I believe it has to be done on the subconscious, and I believe that is actually what is actually happening. This is where the vibrational shift or the 212 to 218 stuff comes in. It's being done subconsciously. It's being done covertly. It's being done below the surface.
Yep, absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And this is where I read a lot of claptrap. I read a lot of the disinformation. I read a lot of the theories that I know that people buy, and I think, yeah, what put the best way to fool people is to mix a little bit of truth in with the lies. I mean, Ronnie James Dio on one of his songs was quoting that it was all about. And tell a little truth with many lies, and you can deceive people.
I got to interrupt you here. That is written in the Bible. That is written in the Bible. It explains to you why Lucifer or Satan, and people need to get this. Lucifer and Satan are different entities. They're not the same thing.
That's right.
And also the devil is a different entity.
Satan is Saturn. It's the worship of the planet Saturn. It's the worship of the cube. The cube that you see at Mecca is because they worship the planet Saturn. Saturn used to be our binary sun. It cannot be proven, but so many people recall the binary sun system. Saturn is a sun.
I didn't know. In the break, I was wondering whether or not I should broach this controversial religious stuff, the for fear of upsetting the dogma of a lot of people. You're absolutely right. I mean, the Judaism is the worship of the planet Saturn,
yeah,
and it's worship of
yeah,
the moon.
You look at it's not Satanism, it's Saturnism.
Yeah. Saturnism. Lucifer was a cherubim.
Well, he was actually Venus. He was actually where the story of Lucifer came in was that Venus was a comet that came into the universe and it wrought absolute havoc on the planetary system. So the idea is that the fallen angel was Venus coming into the universe and it wrought absolute havoc, because when Saturn died and we suddenly had to readjust into a one sun system. I mean, you look at the symbol of infinity, it's the path of the Earth around two suns. That's where the symbol of infinity comes from. You look at Avebury and a lot of other ancient monuments, they have this binary worship. And most people think it's the sun and the moon. It's not. It was the light and the dark. The light and the dark originates from the sun being light and Saturn being the dying sun, the dark. That's where the light and the dark comes from. So some people worship light, some people worship the dark, and that's where it all stems from.
Well, the Illuminati, I mean, it's like the worship of Saturn, and I think the colour of Saturn is black. It's one of the reasons why judges and school teachers and whatever wear
and
black
robes. They have that mortarboard on the heads. That's the cube of Saturn. When you see the eye of Saturn, it's got all these shapes and designs in it. When you see the Muslims pray, they've got the cube.
Yeah, I was going to say, it comes up a lot. It comes up a lot in the Muslim
religion.
Rings
that go out from the cube, like the rings of Saturn.
So you're into symbolism again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all symbolism, Sharon. It's all symbolism. In the Bible, it says to you, the reason why Satan is such a dangerous entity, it's not because he tells lies, right? It's because that he tells truth and lies. You don't know when he's telling the truth, and you don't know when he's telling a lie. That's what makes him so dangerous. If he just told lies all the time, he'd be predictable.
It's many lies with some truths in it. I mean, it's these theories of HAARP. HAARP could be a disinformation. There is HAARP out there, but is it hiding the fact that, and I'm going into something else, that Nibiru has come and gone, or Nibiru's around, and that's what's causing all the upheavals in the planet? Have they invented the story of HAARP and weather terrorism to hide the fact that all this cataclysmic weather is actually caused by something else? That's an example.
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, you know, if there was a neutron star within the solar system, it would certainly explain the increase of cancer. You know, I was on the train the other day. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they're even like advertising, you know, if you have cancer, if you know someone that has cancer, there's adverts on TV and they're telling you that I think one in three of us would like die of cancer. That is the activity of a neutron star.
Yeah.
Star or war waged against the human race to... Aren't we supposed to be downscaled?
Well, yeah, we're a diluted version of what we used to be in the golden age.
We were due for a cull.
Yeah. We were...
A neutron star is a... I was just going to explain what a neutron star was.
It's plasma energy.
Yeah, basically, it's a very, very dense body,
and it puts
now,
electromagnetic energy out, and it pulses the energy out into all around it, and it goes out in pulses, and those plasmas go right through matter, and they adjust and they change matter, and that's basically what
they go right through the planet. Everything is light, even the light that you can't see. A neutron star just doesn't emit white light, okay? It emits plasma, electromagnetic rays, which are still part of the light spectrum. It's just light that you can't see. Now, those electromagnetic rays are actually very, very damaging. I mean, what people don't understand about light radiation is, when you get irradiated, it's basically like being peppered with a 12-bore shotgun. These, like neutrons, they hit you at a cellular level, and they knock chunks out of your cells. Now, if chunks are knocked out of your cell, well, then your cells are not going to be able to perform properly, and then we go back to misbehaving cells. Misbehaving cells, the medical definition of that is cancer, and that's
right.
What happens when you're exposed to radiation. What I'm saying is, if there is a neutron star out there, the electromagnetic radiation that would be coming our way would certainly explain the high instances of cancer on the planet at the moment.
Well,
and by the
right.
way, a neutron star you can't see because it doesn't emit white light.
That's right. That's the really interesting thing. The other interesting thing is there is this theory that the yeast created in the body is basically the cause of the cancer. What's causing the increases of yeast in the body, though? They say, oh, it's diabetes and it's increased sugar, it's this. What happens if all that is masking the fact that they don't want us to know that we're being zapped with these bloody high frequency pulses? And this is it comes every 20,000 years, and every 20,000 years we digress from a time of light to a time of darkness to a time of light, which is effectively what we're doing, because we're having our ascension now, we're having our enlightenment. Well, hey, if you're being beamed with these high frequency light beams, it's going to change your body's vibration. It's going to lift your body vibration up.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if I entirely agree with this, like, concept of, like, it's not that I don't agree with Nibiru. You can't go on like the mathematics of like the ancient times, because thanks to, I think it was it Pope Gregory.
Yeah, he changed time. That's right. So something they
say.
Yeah,
he started dicking around with time.
Yeah,
it might. Yeah, and all it takes is for the Mayans and all the other ancients that done all their calculations to be slightly out, and Nibiru may not be due for another 300 years. The
or
fact of the matter
gone.
Is, or
yeah.
It,
yeah,
or it might have gone. Yeah, it's because time has been messed around with, probably for this reason.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to say when these things are going to happen.
What's interesting, Waheed, is that in 2002, when we migrated from the UK to New Zealand, I started taking photographs of the sun. I don't know why I did. It was just an instinctive thing. I had no reason to do it. And what was actually appearing at the top left-hand side of the sun was a little orb, a little light, another planetoid. There was something, and it was repetitive. It was in all the pictures, right? And as the months went by, it was beginning to move clockwise around the sun. Now, it wasn't a flare. It wasn't any camera trickery. Now, there was a website called Sign of the Times, and people were reporting taking pictures of the sun in the northern hemisphere. They were getting this strange orb as well. Guess where it was? It was directly opposite pictures of the sun to where the orb was with me, and it was directly opposite, and they were going all following. In my pictures were at 12 o'clock, or my pictures had them at, say, 2 o'clock. They would be at 6 o'clock. No, sorry. They would be at, say, 10 o'clock, or they would be at 8 o'clock. They would be directly opposite. And it would
what
be the
colour
same
was
imagery. But, of course, I'm in the southern hemisphere, and they were in the northern hemisphere. So, naturally, they get the sun's in a different place, but it was the same.
What color
thing
was the orb
that was on the sun? I believe that was some of the planets of Nibiru.
What color was the orb, Matthew?
It was blue. But there was also then, I was picking up, there was comet, there was like a comet, or there was something with a comet's tail. Then there was one that was a red one. Then there was three or four of them. There was another time I took a picture of the sun from Queenstown in New Zealand. There's the picture of the sun as the sun's going down, and on the left-hand side, there was clearly something else there.
It's funny how the Vatican have got more telescopes than NASA.
It's weird, isn't it? Now, in the
and
ancient
one of the telescopes that they've
got
takes clearer pictures than Hubble.
Yeah, and here's a good question to pose, right? Why is it all the telescopic camera lenses low definition? Why they're not high definition? Why are they low definition? And why, when we look at the planets through telescopes, does everything seem like, all right, you've got a clear picture, but it's monochromic with the colours? Why is it somebody wired up their own telescope, right, with a high definition lens, right, a simple high definition lens, and what they saw on the moon, you cannot see with a low definition. And everything, when they looked at all the planets in high definition are completely different to when you're looking at them at a conventional observatory. Why do they do that? What are they trying to hide?
I can expand on that a little bit. Have you been on, it's Google, I used to do it years ago, but you can go on Google and you can hook up to the Hubble telescope and you can like have a look at the cosmos. And it was posted on the internet to have a look at the coordinates of where Nibiru was meant to be coming from. And when you programmed the coordinates into Google to look at that bit of space,
yeah,
it'd been cut out. It was like someone with a Stanley knife had like cut this section out so you couldn't see
why.
What was there.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wondered why as well. It wasn't even professionally done. It was like with a Stanley knife.
Do you know what was also interesting? I just remembered, I captured a picture of the sun and it had two small orbs, one on either side of the sun, right? These two little tiny orbs, and I thought, oh well, it's just one of those pictures again. There was something went up on a conspiracy site that they'd spotted a NASA picture that showed these two orbs round the sun. Well, there was a solar flare picture and somebody spotted these two orbs around the sun. And there was this big conspiracy thing that, oh, all it is a solar flare, it's just blip and all that. And everybody on basically was saying it was a bollocks as far as the conspiracy theory was concerned. I'd actually captured a picture that had two small orbs on the sun's image. So I started looking at those solar flare pictures in a different light. Interesting.
Well, NASA, the way I view NASA, they're a bit like Hollywood. There's not much truth that comes out of them. I mean, everything is just like fantasy.
Oh, that's right.
And like, and you can't trust anything that they say. I mean, at the moment, right? Yeah, they're making as many excuses as they can, not to go to Mars.
Look at their exploration of bloody Mars. I mean, who's
interested
in going up a bloody mountain? I mean, of all the places to pick on Mars, they go to this mountain and these pictures of rocks.
Well, why didn't they go to Sedona where there's that pyramid?
Exactly. Why don't
and
they
they're
go
making,
to the polar
they're making every
region?
Excuse under the sun not to go.
It's like they know there's something on Mars, and it's like somebody from another planet seeing the Earth, and they're telling their peoples that our planet's lifeless. They've seen all our cities, they've seen all signs of life and water, so they drop a bloody probe in the middle of the bloody the dead, not the dead, I was going to say bloody some desert somewhere.
Well, I think it's more simpler than that, and I think it's to do with budget. I mean, there's no need for us to go to Mars, right? Spend all that money to go to Mars, risk all those astronauts, when we can just go and talk to the Vatican and find out what's there.
Spot on. I like that one. Now, we're unfortunately very, very close to the
close end. Close to being out of time, you
we've
two.
We've got 5 minutes. We've got 5 minutes. So
Saturn's a very interesting one. They have decided, though, to like launch unmanned probe to Europa, Io, and Titan.
Well, there's a theory that Saturn is where our moon came from.
They've got a hunch that there is life, or I mean, certainly on Europa.
Yeah.
Europa looks to be a moon, covered in water, right, with an icy top, and there's oceans underneath, and they know that water is salty.
Yeah.
If you have salty water, you've most certainly got life.
That's right. Now, on that note, Mohid, we're going to actually have to call a close to the show, because I've got to do an outro song, and I'm going to have to sort of finish the show there. So I'm actually going to thank you so much, Wahid, for coming on the show this evening.
It was fun.
Thanks, Sharon. You didn't have much to
and
say.
And so, thank you for having me. I've had a ball tonight listening.
Thank you for asking that question about mediumship.
I thought you'd like that one.
Thanks, Sharon. Thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
And you're so nice. You're welcome. The
audience drowned you out then.
I know, I was going to say, your explanation on the mediumship off the cuff like that was fantastic. So we all learned a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, Sharon, are you having a 2-week, you're going to have a 2-week break, because we're not going to actually have a show next week, because we're actually going to be in transit coming back from Brisbane, because I'm actually on the road from tomorrow. So you will come back on the next show, won't you?
Absolutely, of course.
I've got a friend of ours from Sydney called Narelle Indigo Taro, who's actually going to be on the next show. So I think we're probably going to be having a more conventional show next time, everybody who's listening. We're going to be talking about psychic matters, about psychic development, how to do readings, how to determine that you've got the real deal in front of you. And maybe we might even get more callers coming in for a bit of the old traditional mediumship. So
let's do lots of readings next time.
Yeah, until next week, I'm just debating what song to put on. Right, until next week, everybody, here's a bit of REL Speedwagon. Good night for now.
Good night, Matthew. Good night, Wahid.
Okay, that's this week's show almost wrapped up. It certainly is. Remember, you can contact Mike anytime by logging